Now, I realize it is 12:10, so don't worry. And I actually planned this. You know, we're working through this idea of stewardship. And you remember, one of the first things we talked about was stewardship of our time. And we want to be good stewards of our time, even this morning. And I kind of want to challenge us with, as we think about this idea of stewardship, today we're going to kind of change gears. And when last time I preached, we talked about focusing on being good stewards of our body, right, and our health. Remember that? And hopefully we're doing a little bit better than we were before that. But today we want to just spend a little bit of time, and we're going to tee up really for next time in more detail this idea of caring for our spirit, our soul, and our mind. And you hear many people talk about this idea. They call it soul care. And soul care is important. And I want to share with you guys, write this quote down. I read a book just about a week ago, kind of about this idea. It was called, the title of the book was called Replenishment. And, you know, as we go through life, we kind of get drained, don't we? And I want to share this thought. And I encourage you to write this down. This gentleman said these words. He says, "As I grow older, I am not as concerned about what I have done." Write it down. As I grow older, I'm not as concerned about what I have done. And write this last part down. But what I have become. That's pretty deep, isn't it? Not so much what I've done. You know, we always go through all of our accolades about all the things we did. And, you know, and by the way, it's kind of fun to do that and go through all the adventures and the silly things and the amazing accomplishments. But you know what? When it gets down to where the rubber hits the road, it's not what we've done, but it is who we have become. And I want to challenge us with that this morning as we kind of dive in. We're going to go right down to the sort of the little blurb that we call it. You can see the message there. We're going to talk about that, caring for soul, spirit, and mind. And take us right on down, if you would. And here's a thought, just to think about this. And by the way, I think y'all can agree with me on this one. Life on earth is truly draining for our soul and mind. And here's the question. How can I care for my spirit, soul, and mind so that I am refreshed and am able to glorify God in all the seasons of life? And I hope today, as we're going to just begin this, and we'll deal with this next time in more detail, but let's listen to God's words of Scripture to find out how that works. The eternal truth this morning, and we'll take it right on down to that, right down at the bottom, right? God has redeemed us for himself, so we should be good stewards of our spirit, soul, and mind for his glory. And that is certainly true. And by the way, and our own good. So I want to skip right on down to the next slide. And remember, stewardship is certainly more than money. We're going to get to that still too. And we want to go right down to where we want to kick off this afternoon. And here's the first thing. This may be a revelation to you. It may not. But all of us have an inner man or an inner woman. It's the immaterial part of us. It's the real you. You know, by the way, we do all kinds of things to kind of show the world who we think we are, but the real you is on the inside. Think about how much money is spent. I didn't look this up, but can you imagine how much money is spent on makeup? Can you imagine what that is? I'm going to try to get that number for next week, right? And by the way, I'm not just picking on the ladies, but the guys too, right? Right? Think about it, right? You know, if we don't have hair, we're trying to regrow it. If we have hair and it's gray, we're trying to change its color back to what it was. You know, we're trying to do all these things to say, this is who I am, but the real who you are is on the inside, isn't it? Right? It really is, right? The real who you are is there. So I want to look at some definitions this morning, just real quick, And by the way, these are not super heavy duty, but I want us to just think about it and think with me this morning as we look at some definitions quickly. And I want to think about, and why this is so important, is the difficulties and things. Okay, you went ahead. It's okay. There's difficulties that we wrestle with in life. And then also, what direction do we need to go to have a soul that's healthy and able to glorify God as we steward it? And that's what we're going to just think about this morning as we kick this idea off. So a couple things I want you guys to think about, and I'll print this off for you for next week too. Think with me about this, right? Man has been created with an inner man. And by the way, ladies, I didn't write inner man slash woman every single time. So when I say inner man, it's you as an inner woman too, okay? So don't get mad at me. You know, I heard a story about this pastor one day. He was at the door and he was shaking hands with everybody. And someone kind of did this to him, and then they just punched him right in his face. So don't do that, ladies. Here's what he says. Man has been created with an inner man and that is not physical and material, and an outer man that is physical and material. It's our body, right? Called our earth suit, right? This is what we live life in, this body. But we have an inner man as well. We cannot neglect either man as good stewards of God's creation. Each affects the other when it comes to our health and our ability to please and serve God. Isn't that true? By the way, I'll throw this out. How many of us have ever tried to serve God when the inner man was a little messed up? How's that go? Not all that great, right? You know, a lot of times when the inner man's upset, the inner man's angry, the inner man's frustrated, doesn't it come out? And I'll share, that happened to me this week. You know, you're trying to be nice and you're like a bear, you know, or some other animal that no one wants to hang out with, right? So it's such an important thing. We need to focus on that thing. The Bible describes man as this, by the way, body, soul, and spirit. And they call it tripartite is the word. It just means there's three parts. And we are commanded to love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, mind, and strength. And I mentioned this, I was talking with somebody this morning. You know, we kind of think of Matthew. It says we're to love the Lord our God with all our what? Heart, soul, and mind. Mark, the other gospel, picks up and he adds strength. There's sort of a bodily element to that too. But we're to love God that way. And I want to throw this out. As we stop and think about it, in the West, in Western culture, we always want to kind of parse things out, dissect them to the smallest part, slice them all up, and try to figure them all out. And I just want to say this, as we read Scripture, and as you guys read the Bible, you're going to find out that God uses some of these words interchangeably, and especially in the Hebrew language, the definitions are very much broader than we think. And I want you guys to get this in your mind. The writings of Scripture and the people who received it had a much more integrated view of humanity than we do. And I give an example. If I say heart, we're going, is he talking about that thing that beats in your chest? Or is he talking about our minds? In Scripture, by the way, when we see heart, a lot of times it's talking about our minds. On occasion, and by the way, in the Greek language, the word is cardia, like we get the word cardiac from. The word has the idea of the heart sometimes that beats in our chest, but most time when we read heart in Scripture, it has the idea of our mind, what drives us, what drives our emotions, our desires, and those kinds of things. So the writings of Scripture and the people who received it, they were much more integrated in their view. They weren't so worried about slicing and dicing. They were worried about being the man or the woman that God wanted them to be on the inside. And as we look at that, we're going to kind of get that picture. I want to slide on down, give a couple scriptures real quick this afternoon. And here's the first one. And again, just want to emphasize, right, God cares about your body. We talked about that last time. A lot of times in church, people don't talk about that much. But man, does God care about your inner man? He cares about your spirit, your soul, and your mind. / heart, if you want to add that in, right? And check it out. We looked at these verses last time. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So check that out, right? As believers in Jesus Christ, when we trusted Christ and he became our Savior, we gave up all rights to do what we want to do and be our own man or woman. He owns us, and he deserves us. But look what he says. He said, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. And check it out what it says. In your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So don't just glorify God with what you do. Everybody look up. Glorify God with who you are. Glorify God with who you are. Timothy picked it up, and the Apostle Paul wrote this to Timothy, and he said, but reject profane and old wives' fables, old wives' fables. Exercise yourself toward godliness, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. In other words, take care of your body, but everybody look up. Get this in your heart. Take care of your soul. Take care of your soul. Make that the priority, because that matters now. It's going to matter next week, and it's going to matter for all of eternity. Take care of your soul. We'll slide down, if you would. Look what it says. And by the way, we feel this. Therefore, don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We're going to kind of focus on that idea, that renewal. By the way, can anybody use a little renewal on the inside? We work the outside, right? You know, with all that stuff. But, man, we got to work the inside, right? It says, for this reason I bow my knees in the book of Ephesians to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. By the way, let me ask a question. How many people in the congregation work out to some level? Raise your hand. Amen. That's good, right? Somebody called me. I'll pick on Tom Collier called me yesterday. He said, can I borrow that ladder in the gym? And you guys know, the ladder in the gym is like this 15-foot humongous ladder, and it weighs like a ton. It is a two-man job to deal with that ladder. And I said, Tom, be careful. I texted back, I know you're strong. And he texted me back, you know, the little muscle emoji, right? And he's here today. The ladder's here today. Everything is okay. But I want to say this. Our strength, right, is not just here. It's got to be in that internal character. And I'll tell you what. Some days I feel pretty weak. I feel pretty weak there. And, you know, we got that idea that the Lord wants us to deal with that. So I want to slide down to the next part. And I want to just share for a second, just kind of put this in context. This life in a broken world is tough. What do you guys think? How come things don't work out? You know, I'll throw this out to you guys. If I have to make one more call this year about something that someone else messed up, I'm going to lose my mind. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, it's unbelievable sometimes how things just don't work out. You know, at church, in my own life, you know, in others' lives, things just don't work out. Simple things don't work out. And you're just so frustrated by that, right? And I'll throw this out. Why we have to deal with the inner man is because, and you guys may feel this, those things are a constant drain on our spirit, on our soul, and on our minds. You feel sometimes? Sometimes you feel like, I can't do another thing. And by the way, physically, you can. They say this in sports. They say, you know, as you become a better athlete, right, you learn that your body can do more than you think it can. And that's accomplished through training. But in our inner bodies, you know what? Some days we just feel like there's nothing left. Amen to that? Nothing left, right? And I'm going to throw this out, by the way. Is that a healthy thing? Is that how God wants us to feel, like we're just like, you know, done? No, right? No. So we got to deal with that issue, right? And I want to share with you guys, by the way, the Psalms deal with the entire spectrum of emotion in all of life. The greatest joy to the greatest sorrow. And check out this Psalm, Psalm 55. It says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication or my request. Attend to me and hear me. And by the way, doesn't this sound like us? I am restless in my complaint. And moan noisily. Anybody moan this week? Moaning and groaning, that's what we do, right? He says, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. And check out what he says. He says, my heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And by the way, check out these words. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Amen to that, right? Where do I go, right? It says, indeed, I would wander far off and I would remain in the wilderness. So how about it, right? Anybody there? By the way, I know you're in church and we're supposed to say, how you doing? Okay, but a lot of people in church should really be saying Psalm 55, including the pastor, right? We're not okay always, right? We're not okay. And I want to skip down to the next verse, just kind of continue to illustrate that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, right? This is the difficulty. It says, but we have this treasure, right? The gospel in earthen vessels, our bodies, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. But look what the Apostle Paul said. By the way, everybody look up. Don't ever think that you're weird or you're strange or you're different because your life is full of mess and problems. Because the greatest Christians in all of history suffered greatly. Paul, Job, Abraham, David, Moses. You know, I could go on and name them all. Jesus, by the way, right? Remember, he was called a man of sorrows. But check out what Paul said. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side. But he says, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. And we are struck down, but not destroyed. Everybody look up for a second. I want you to get a hold of these words, because every time he says something bad that you and I feel, he says, but something good is going on. And look what he says. He says, we're hard-pressed on every side, yet we're not, what? Crushed. In other words, the walls are closing in on all four sides, but they're not crushing me because I'm one of God's children and he's empowering me. We are perplexed. I don't know how many times I ask, why? Why, God? What's going on? Why? But look what he says. But we're not in despair because we know who the shepherd is. Right? He says, we are persecuted. You know, we're feeling every manner of attack in this world as Christians and all kinds of other walks of life that we walk in. But we're not forsaken. Remember the Lord said, he said, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. Right? And those kind of words, by the way, need to keep on going in our minds to have a healthy soul. And then he says this word, we're struck down. By the way, how many of us in this congregation, especially with illness, you literally feel like you've been struck down? You got to retirement, and it wasn't the golden thing you thought it was going to be, right? One of our members used to say this. He said, the golden years are made of brass. Right? You know, we feel struck down, literally. By the way, Cindy, it's going to be great for you, I'm sure. I hope it is, right? But stop thinking about this, right? But I want to throw this out. As you look at this passage, everybody look up at the screen. Look at this passage. This is a passage of what it means to have a soul that is spiritually healthy. You know what? We're pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed. We don't know why, but we're not despairing because we know who. We are persecuted, but man, we are the children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are struck down, but we're not giving up. We're not destroyed. Right? And we all kind of, by the way, does this hit a chord in our lives? There's probably not one of us. By the way, if you're older than 20, you feel this. If you're not, maybe you're still like below 20 and life is the rose garden. But now it's the weed garden. You know, we all this junk going on, right? But this is a picture of someone who has, you know, a healthy soul in the midst of everything that's going on. And I want to skip on down. Take us down if you would, please. And I'm going to leave us with this morning, and we're going to pick it up next time. But here's the deal. If I'm going to be healthy, I got to know what direction to go. And I read this, Psalm 42. Check it out. The direction is, I got to, on a daily basis, and maybe even more, move toward God, hear God, listen to God, talk to God, embrace what God says, obey God, and it's going to change my perspective and the health of my soul, spirit, and mind. And the psalmist writes these words. He says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And I want to throw this out. I better look up for a second. You know what? When life is really beating us up, when we're really feeling crushed on every side and you know, walled in and all the problems are happening, you know what usually happens to us? Our devotions kind of go out the window and we become, you know, self-sufficient, or we try to take care of everything ourselves. And by the way, this is me confessing me too. And guess what? I can't do it. It all falls apart. But he said, my soul thirsts for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with a multitude, and I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. By the way, I threw this out. I was talking today with Shirley Rochelle. And I was laughing and smiling. And she said, man, that's what attracted her to me at that moment. Right? Not my good outside looks, but I had a smile, right? And the point I want to say about that is this. When we come together as God's people and we encourage each other in the scripture and in the spirit, it changes our demeanor. And I'm going to throw this out. A lot of times we don't walk in the door like that, but hopefully as brothers and sisters in Christ, we walk out the door with a better perspective. Not just from the pulpit, but from the guy or lady next to you, from the one you spoke to in the restroom, from the one you had, you know, food with in the gym. Hopefully it was that sense of, man, we're going to be okay because God is in control. That's not this idea. And David, he just talks about this in Psalm 42. Take us down a slide, please, if you will. Check this out. I'm going to have a healthy soul. Where am I going to go? Can he beat this psalm? By the way, it's the wrong reference. What's the real psalm? It's 121. Yeah, it's the wrong reference. It's kind of funny. This morning, I was kind of popping this stuff in. And I typed in Psalm 91. I went to look at him like, this ain't right. And I know, by the way, these are in the Psalms of Ascent. So I know that's the wrong place. But dummy me, I didn't change the reference, right? But here it is, right? Psalm 121, verse 1 says this. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So if your soul is hurting today, there is only one fix for your soul, and it's the Lord. It's the only one fix. And I got it. By the way, That will be the same tomorrow and the next day and the rest of your life and the rest of mine. And we all need to stop trying to fix it ourselves or go some other place, because the only place that fixes souls is the God of heaven. Right? So we're going to skip down. Take us down one more if you would. Psalm 23, right? Greg read that so well this morning, and you guys, we read it responsibly, right? Think about this thought. Who's your shepherd? And by the way, Nancy's been working on this in the ladies' class, right? The Lord is our shepherd. We all need a shepherd. Don't think we're that self-sufficient. We all need a shepherd to guide us, to bring us back when we go astray, to keep us on track when we're on track, to help us when we have something that we can't fix ourselves. We need a shepherd. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And we got that, by the way, that this is one of the probably this is the most famous passage of scripture in the world. But we as believers got to hang on to that. I will not want. I will not have a need that will be unfulfilled because God is my shepherd. And he kind of illustrates that. He says he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He takes care of my needs. Sheep need grass. And you know what? We need all of God's spiritual graces to build us up, and all of his physical blessings as well. He leads us beside still waters. And you guys probably have heard this before. The idea, you know, that sheep don't like rushing water. You know, it's kind of hard to drink out of a fire hose or a garden hose, right? It's kind of hard to get much out of that. Sheep like that water real still. And you know what that illustrates? God knows you and your needs. God knows that you're like sheep, right? He says that to us. We're like sheep. And he knows that you don't like rushing water. He knows exactly what you need, and he's going to lead you right there. But you got to go with him. Don't follow anyone else. Don't follow yourself especially, right? And by the way, look at verse 3. And we'll pick this up as we go next time. What does he do? He restores my soul. I don't know about you, but I could use a whole lot of soul restoration. That could be a new TV show on HGTV, right? Soul restoration. Right? Don't we need it, though? Because we are, like, this life has just beat everything out of us. And we kind of feel like we have nothing left to give. And man, does our soul need that restorative power that God gives. I want to just slide on down. We'll come back to that again next time as we go on. But take us down a slide, if you would, my dear. Thank you. I just want to leave us with this thought. We just read it, right? So if we're going to get things moving in the right direction in the care of our immaterial person, our inner man, our inner woman, our spirit, our soul, and our mind, there's the direction that God gives, right? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's the challenge, right? And I want to throw this out. I think we think, and by the way, the church has adopted this, you know, we think that activity means spirituality. And if you watch most of us, including me, you would think that that was true. But the issue is, what we need to find, and what I need to find, and what we all need to get a hold of, is the rest that God gives. Remember when Jesus calmed the storm for the disciples? And they were shocked? God doesn't promise that he's going to take away every storm of your life. But he's going to give you peace in the storm. He's not going to give us, and by the way, I wish it was true, he's not going to give us smooth sailing. Man, do we like that? But he's going to give us a safe landing. And we just have to trust him. Remember the disciples? They woke Jesus up on the boat. And they said, Jesus, basically they said this in essence. Jesus, what's wrong with you? Don't you understand that we're about to have a shipwreck and die? And they kind of forgot for a second that he was the Lord. What's wrong with you, Jesus? And the Lord did what? He just held up his hands and he calmed the sea, calmed the wind, and everybody was okay. And he not only calmed the sea and the wind, he calmed their soul that was so up in an uproar. Right? And isn't that what we need? In this world, it seems like the whole world is angry at something or someone. You know, you don't have to leave church long today to find that out. Like, people don't let you in if you're trying to change lanes. You know, they're beeping the horn. You ever sit there at a traffic light and the light changes and like 1 second later, the guy behind you is on the horn saying, "What are you doing?" You know, you may not even be on your phone, but you just can't get your foot down any quicker, you know? But like the whole world just needs that rest of their souls. And by the way, that needs to start in the house of God, on the platform, and in the pew. Amen? So next week, we're going to try to take that apart a little bit. That's sort of the concept. We know where we got to go. Where we got to go, y'all? We got to go to the Lord. That's where we're going to find that. That's the thing that gets cut out when we get too busy and too frazzled and too messed up. But we got to go there. That direction is the place. But then the question we're going to answer next week is, how do we do that? How do we really steward and care for our souls that we can bring glory to God in every season of life? Amen? So I hope you guys, by the way, try to be here. Pray. If you can't be here, watch it. Pray as we prepare, as I prepare it. It's kind of hard to separate and put all these things together. Even for me, I'm kind of like, how do I make it simple? I'm not quite sure sometimes. But let's look to God. That he would make First Baptist Church a congregation that has their souls at rest. And by the way, when we're rested, aren't we ready and equipped to do ministry and do life in a way that we can't when we're not? Let's just pray. Father God, thank you, dear God, for your word today. Thank you for all the things, Lord, that you're going to do in us in the days ahead. Father God, thank you for all the things, Lord, that you have done in us, Lord, in this day. And Lord, I just pray, Father God, as we transition even here at First Baptist Church, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for Cindy. What a blessing she has been to us. What a blessing she'll be to others in the days ahead. We want to thank you for the Johnson family as well. But Lord, we want to thank you most of all for Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you would just work in our hearts and in our minds. And I pray, dear God, that we would be a people that are rested, settled, and prepared to glorify you for all of our days. Father, work in our heart, and I pray, dear God, that as we study this and we think about this in the days ahead, you would reorder our lives. Yes. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone, Lord, who has a need, even who needs Jesus today, Father, may they reach out. If there's anyone who is just really struggling, that needs prayer, that needs a conversation, a word of encouragement, a word of admonishment, Lord God, have them reach out to me, our deacons, or even their neighbor in the pew. Father, we want this church, Lord, to be that hospital that people come in with all kinds of problems and they leave with problems solved and with help and direction and confidence and faith in the one who can change everything. And Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Our praise team is going to lead us in a song. By the way, it's a famous one. It's called "It Is Well With My Soul." And we sing that, but a lot of times it's not so well. So I want you to examine your heart as you sing that song as well. And let's take that to the Lord.
All right, please stand and join us. Thank you.
As we go through difficulties in life, it doesn't feel initially well. But when we take those issues to our Lord in prayer and in faith, God can make our hearts well with whatever comes about. And I just want to encourage you today. You know what? Our starting point to being a good steward of our spirit, our soul, and our mind is Jesus Christ. Amen. We got to know him, and then we got to trust him no matter what comes about in our lives.
Amen.
And you know what God has to develop? He has to develop that faith in us to trust him no matter what. And initially it's not well, but when we walk closely with Jesus and we restore that relationship, he restores our soul. We're going to pray. I want to encourage you. We're going to have a time in the gym. We got waterized pretzels, lots of other things, small plates to share, you know, and just have a time of fellowship. But I want to encourage you all, pop back, take a minute to greet Cindy, to greet Priscilla and her family as well. We praise God for our brothers and our sisters, don't we? Mm-hmm. Praise God, man. Isn't it awesome to be in the living body of Christ?
Amen.
I want to encourage you. Go back, take a minute with them, just encourage them. They've been a great encouragement to us. Spend time, by the way. Catch up with each other, and hopefully when we leave this place, we're a little more equipped because Monday's coming. Let's pray. We're going to ask, by the way, Cindy, I don't know if you want to go to the back and just say hi to people as they leave. You want to do that? Rosemary, she can do that last part. It's cool.
Where am I going?
Go right by the door.
Right
just
here?
In case somebody can't stay. Yeah.
Okay.
Rosemary, you got her, right? You got her.
Yeah.
She got you. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, that you're our God. Thank you, dear Lord, that you are able to get us through, Lord, all of the challenges of life. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us, dear God, to steward our spirits, our souls, and our minds. Father God, direct us to your Son as the answer, Lord, to all of our problems. Dear God, grow that relationship in each of us. And Lord, I pray now as we get ready to say goodbye, Lord, to Cindy. Father God, bless her. Bless Tom. Bless her family.
Amen.
Father, use her in ways that she can't even imagine, Lord, to continue to bring glory to you. Be with Priscilla, Lord, and her family as well. Father God, use them to be the blessing on the West that they have been here on the East. Lord God, just work in all of us. Bless our fellowship. Bless the food. Thank you for Ms. Bendu and her team and all the others who work to prepare stuff today. Father God, just bless them as well. Thank you, dear God, for the fellowship that we share. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving. Amen.